Welcome to the Green Alliance podcast. We're the charity and think tank that is all about achieving ambitious leadership for the environment. I'm Zoe Averson, a policy analyst at Green Alliance. One of the biggest challenges for decarbonising the UK is addressing the way we heat our homes. Most are heated by gas boilers and our housing stock is poorly insulated, meaning much of the heat we produce is wasted. Of course, as gas prices spiral, wasting less heat and getting energy bills down is more important than ever. This won't be straightforward, and although insulated homes will save money in the long term, there can be some significant upfront costs. This week, I spoke to Claire Tracy, Chief Strategy and Sustainability Officer at Nationwide. We discussed the 50 million homes which are owner-occupied and how they can be helped to upgrade their energy efficiency. Welcome, Claire. I thought I'd start first by asking, why are lenders like Nationwide interested in greening the UK's homes?
To start with, Nationwide, obviously a building society, not a bank. So we're a kind of mutual society and we're owned by our 16 million members. So we do have a big interest in kind of wider society. And we also have a particular interest in the housing market because we're the UK's number two mortgage lender. Now, housing is actually 16% of the total UK carbon emissions. Basically, like millions of people spend hundreds of pounds a year effectively heating the air outside their house because we have a number of, you know, pretty old, pretty leaky properties. So we're really interested in this because it will benefit our members to be in houses that are well insulated, that are energy efficient, where the run cost is lower, but also because it will help the UK tackle a really big and quite intractable part of our carbon emissions.
Is that built into sort of Nationwide's mission? How are you targeting the greening of homes?
Yeah, so we've got a number of kind of key pledges and things that we say, you know, we really want to do. Tackling carbon emissions is one of them. But we've got this big pledge. We're trying to get 50% of our total mortgage book, so the properties that we lend on, we're trying to get 50% of those to EPC C rating by 2030. And that's a pretty big challenge because the average UK home is an EPC D. So, you know, basically millions of homes need to be upgraded. You know, they need insulation putting in, they need solar panels putting in, you know, more efficient heating systems. And that's what we're really trying to support our members to do and encourage our members to do.
And how do you go about that? So what kind of things do you offer to your members to encourage them to upgrade their homes?
It's all about trying to encourage people. So we've got a couple of products that we offer. So for new build housing, we offer green rewards. So if you buy a more energy efficient property, new build, we'll give you cash back depending on how energy efficient your property is. And that's been quite successful. The big thing, though, is encouraging people when they're buying like existing properties to go in and to try and retrofit them. And that's been a real challenge for us. So we made like £1 billion worth of really quite low rate, cheap sort of lending available to people who want to borrow to retrofit their homes. The only criteria is they've got to spend 50% of the money on putting in things to make their home more energy efficient. So we made £1 billion available about a year ago. So far, I think £20 million worth has been drawn down. So the demand just isn't there. And that's the big thing we're trying to tackle, because it's not always about trying to the ability to borrow the money. It's also wanting to do it, knowing what to do, you know, and there are some really big barriers around that.
What is actually causing this low uptake?
Obviously, it would be remiss not to start by mentioning the kind of cost of living crisis. You know, a lot of people are feeling financially very insecure right now. So a lot of people feel like they don't have the money to start with. All I would say is green retrofitting, it doesn't always necessarily need to be like super expensive. So clearly, you know, you can go nuts and you can get an air source heat pump or a ground source heat pump. You can spend thousands and thousands of pounds putting in solar panels and doing lots of things. But there's also, you know, getting your loft insulated to the right level, you know, draft proofing, insulation, more basic things people can do. So it's not always about the money, but the money is a factor. A lot of other things are things like people just don't have the awareness of what to do. So some of this stuff's really complicated. People don't necessarily think about making their homes more energy efficient if they're thinking about their carbon emissions. Although obviously with energy prices on the rise, you know, I think public awareness is definitely kind of increasing. And then there are issues like trying to find someone that you really trust to come in and do the job. The Citizens Advice Bureau, for example, support creation of like a net zero homes guarantee. That at the moment, there aren't quality guarantees on people coming in to retrofit your home. And that can be a barrier. It's not just about the money. It's the hassle factor. It's finding someone you trust. And then it's, you know, getting your head around what the options are.
I know I've been lobbying my dad quite intensely this past few months, and he's finally starting his own project. And he's a retired physicist, so he's got plenty of time. He understands the problem, but even he's struggling to find the right people, sort of people he can trust. I guess because everyone's house is so different as well.
That, I mean, that is such a huge thing. It's, 29 million homes, and each one will have been built at a certain time and will be a certain shape and have certain and will need a unique solution.
What kind of policy changes do you think would drive more uptake then?
I think that there's a really big role for government in this. And I think a lot of the lenders, a lot of the banks, building societies, energy companies, I mean, everyone's really keen to see change. But we do need the government to kind of help draw it all together. First of all, I think we need a proper public information campaign to sort of help people understand how important this is and what they could do. It needs to be fairly financed. And, that's a sort of a challenging thing in a situation where, we've obviously got a lot of demands for money. But, there are going to be people that are in homes that cannot afford to retrofit them, and they will need some support. But there's also things that the government could do around things like VAT and stamp duty, sort of change, slight tweaks and changes they could make that could just, help to move the market forward. In the same way that some of the tax breaks really got the electric vehicles kind of market going. There's also trust, putting in quality standards so that if people are hiring people to come in and do this work, they can trust it's going to be done to the right standard. We need hundreds of thousands of new jobs in green retrofitting. There's a real skills shortage. And, if the government faced into that, I think that could be a complete win-win. We need better data on properties. And then there's a lot of data that people have through things like smart meters that, we're not allowed to access. So thinking about that, we need more renewable energy coming into the grid. And then finally, we're still building homes right now that are not energy efficient. And if we're going to get to net zero, we've just got to stop digging the hole and start, only building houses that are fit and right for the future. There is going to be a legislation to make that happen, but again, it's not coming in for a couple of years, and we think it could be brought in a bit sooner.
I'm interested in what you said about fair financing. So the amount of wealth in this country that is now stored in properties tops £5 trillion. It's over a third of all the wealth in the country. We're now at the point with house prices continuing to rise and wages sluggish, where the average home is earning more than the average person, and obviously a person is paying more tax on their earned income. We talked about how some people will be needing grant funding. But who should be eligible for that, and what does fair finance look like in this context?
You've got people in lots of different situations. And I think what we're all clear about is that the people who can afford to pay to retrofit their homes should pay to retrofit their homes. It's the right thing to do. It will benefit them because they'll end up with a cheaper to run home that is more comfortable to live in. But equally, there are going to be a whole bunch of people who can't afford it. So first of all, people criticize green levies as a tax on the poor, but some of them fund incredible grant schemes like the Energy Company Obligation. So the Eco-Affordable Warmth Obligation, it's delivered like 15 billions worth of lifetime bill savings to the beneficiaries who need it. And, these are people under financial strain who really benefit from it. So things like that, things like the sustainability grants for the housing associations, all the changes the housing associations putting in, like that's really, really positive. There are people who own their own homes right now who will need some level of financial support to retrofit them. The average cost of a home in the Northeast is £160,000. If that home is EPC D rated and you're trying to get to sort of, EPC A or sort of really, really good energy efficiency, that could cost like 15% of the value of that house. People just don't have that money to go and spend thousands of pounds. And there are things that the government can do to help, but, ultimately there is going to have to be some grant funding to help people in that situation. The key thing is to do it wisely and to do it sparingly. So you're not just saying, okay, fine, someone who owns three massive houses, yeah, you get some huge grant to go and put in solar panels. Like, clearly no one would support that. So it's about doing it in the right way to generate the movement in the market to get people doing this thing. But also, what you have to avoid is a situation where you've got people who are in homes, energy efficient homes, and that home becomes unsaleable or there's a real problem for them.
The risk of creating mortgage prisoners, I guess, is quite big if a home can't be sold because someone can't afford to retrofit it.
That is the key thing that we need to avoid. We need to have really supportive legislation that kind of introduces these sort of nudges and puts in grants at the right places. And then it's also long-term enough that all of the kind of private sector, like the energy companies, the banks, the building societies, you know, everyone can face into this and get behind it. Because at the moment, government policy has been a bit in and out. There have been grants, but then they've been taken away, then they've been put in. And what we need is like a long-term consistent vision so that everyone in the private sector can then like get behind that and support it.
There's quite a lot of homes which are owned outright. So about 35% of households are owner-occupied and owned outright. Or there's lots where people have got very little left to pay off on their mortgage, but they might also have a low income. They might be retired, for instance. How do you reach and incentivize those kind of audiences? They're sort of the more able to pay end of the spectrum.
I think there's a really big demographic challenge here. I mean, almost three quarters of people aged 65 and over in England, they own their home outright. Obviously, you're not then having that interaction with the mortgage lenders who can encourage you when you're moving, you know, you own that. But we also know that like about 2.5 million of owner-occupied homes are non-decent, that's what they're called. So basically they don't have efficient heating and insulation. And almost half of those homes are owned by someone or occupied by someone over the age of 55. So, you know, there is a real need in this country for elderly people who own their own home to have better insulated homes. You know, there are a lot of older people who are living in houses that are cold, that are uncomfortable, that can lead to really poor health outcomes. So, you know, cold and damp, it worsens arthritis, it worsens respiratory issues. So actually, you know, there, I think there's a real campaign and a public awareness thing around, look, you know, there is a real benefit to living in a house that's properly insulated. You know, and if you are so fortunate as to own your own home and not have a mortgage on it, clearly there's the opportunity there to access some of that wealth in the house to actually, you know, retrofit it and make it more comfortable to live in.
Is there a need for different kinds of products for the sort of older end of the market? I suppose most lending is aimed at people who've got quite a few years of work ahead of them.
If you're sort of older and you want to release some of the equity in your home, you know, there are products out there that do that. I do think as the sector for kind of green retrofitting grows, you know, there'll be increasingly like more and more financial products out there. You know, Nationwide's released different products, and even in the last couple of years, different types of green mortgages, different types of green further advances, you know, and I do think that as the sector grows, you know, there will be more products coming available. But as I say, Zoe, I think a lot of the challenge for that demographic isn't so much having the money as knowing what to do, having the confidence to do it, and just kind of awareness that your house shouldn't feel like this. You know, you shouldn't be freezing cold all the time. And actually, so for example, loft insulation, I can't remember the number, I wish I could, it's somewhere in like 30 to 40% of lofts in this country, you know, are not properly insulated. That is not expensive to do, and it can make a really big difference. And it can also make a really big difference to your energy bills as well, which is obviously, you know, very important right now. So public awareness and building people's confidence and creating more information about what's out there and how to do it, I think is going to be a big part of this as well.
Say all of your policy asks are delivered, what do you think that you would be able to do as a lender in a sort of world where we've got the skills, we've got the awareness, we've got the trust sorted?
The dream world would be if you wanted to come to us to get a mortgage to buy a new home, you would be able, and it would all be kind of amazing digital, and you know, all the information would be out there. You would be very, very quickly able to understand for your new home, and you'd be interested because you'd know, you know, all of the public information would be available. You'd be interested in, okay, what's the energy efficiency of my home? You would be very easily able, you know, in the same way you get your home valued and you get surveyed to make sure it's not falling down, you'd have a look at what's the energy efficiency. And it would be very simple to just kind of click through and say, okay, it's not energy efficient enough. Right, I'm going to get someone in to do the work. It would be very easy to kind of figure out what work needs doing, and it would all just be part of the kind of integrated process. And that way, you know, we would know as a building society that our members are moving into homes that are energy efficient, that are cheap to run, that are comfortable to live in. You know, that would be the dream. There is so much that needs to happen to make that a reality, you know, of energy companies, mortgage lenders, insulation manufacturers, the government, you know, everybody working together to make it happen. Because One of the key challenges at the moment for anyone really looking at this is it's not all there in one place. You know, you have to speak to your energy company and then you have to go and do a whole bunch of research somewhere else. And then you've got to find out whether your bank will lend you the money. You know, being able to sort of bring it all together into a really sort of seamless kind of experience like that would be the dream. And having government policy that would incentivize you to want to do it as well.
Thanks for listening to this Green Alliance podcast. Keep checking in as we'll continue to bring you specialist interviews and highlights from our events here on your podcast feed. You can subscribe to the Green Alliance podcast on your favourite podcast app, and you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Green Alliance UK. See you next time.